Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, earlier in the week, the UK consumer group, Which, found that some everyday items, including things like watches and speakers, they're stuffed with trackers to collect data from us. So the news that his air fryer might be listening to him worried Adam Maguire from the RTE business desk. Very worried he was, so much so that he decided to look into what other smart devices might be keeping an eye on us. It's been keeping you awake, Adam.
It has. As you know, I still don't have an oven. I'm relying on my air fryer. So the idea that it's spying on me now is very concerning.
Yeah, especially coming up to Christmas, you know, you'll be using it a lot, so it'll have a lot to hear.
Do I need to watch out for the slow cooker as well now? Keep an eye on that.
Of course you do. Yeah. That's the whole point of this piece. You're worried about everything. So can your air fryer listen to you? Did you find this out?
Yeah, I was wondering this. You know, was it the case that Which found, you know, their air fryer had a little microphone tucked away somewhere and it was listening to people as they use it? That wasn't what was happening. But what is going on is increasingly becoming a plague with consumer devices and appliances. And that's the smart device, because, you know, it used to be the case that you buy your appliance, you go home, you plug it in and you use it, and that's just the end of it now. But now, as people will know if they've bought anything recently, there's a lot of smart features that tend to be attached. And what that involves is downloading an app, setting up an account, syncing your appliance to it, and then you can access all these new features. And that's what's going on with this air fryer, or the multiple air fryers. And what's happening is you install the app, and it links to the appliance, and then your phone kind of becomes a middleman in the process. All of the sensors on your phone, not on the air fryer, become available to the device. So that's your microphone, your GPS location, and the air fryer then, and the company can tap into that in one way or another.
So that's why the air fryer would need to listen to me, right?
Yeah, well, you wonder why it would need to do that, really. I suppose, you know, one of the smart features was the ability to turn the air fryer on and off remotely. I'm not entirely sure how useful that is, because you still have to be there to put the stuff in.
Well, some of them have a preheat, don't they? If you're on your way home, maybe.
Maybe to get a notification to tell you it's ready. But, you know, trying to think of a reason why you'd want this, being, you know, generous about it, maybe you can give a voice command to the app to turn your air fryer on. And in order to do that, you need to give permission that it can tap into the microphone. But what Which also found was that the audio that the apps were picking up was then being sent on to a server, in one case to a server in China. And it's quite possible it will sit there indefinitely. And then the question becomes, well, who has access to that data? It is important to note the companies in question did have to ask permission to record the audio. You know, people will be used to getting a prompt from their phone saying, are you willing to give
you
access
to
the
microphone? Say yes to everything generally.
And, yeah, you just say yes and you dismiss it as well. You know, there are kind of tighter rules around this now, in part because the EU's GDPR, it's kind of raised the bar on how companies handle data. So they have to get informed consent to tap into these types of things. They're also supposed to be clear what they'll do with the data as well. But often the important information is buried in, you know, the terms and conditions. Or in the case of the air fryer recordings going to China, it was spelled out in the privacy notice, the thing that absolutely nobody reads. Even if you were a lawyer, you wouldn't be able to wrap your head around it. And what Which found was that the companies will often take a very broad approach to the permissions they seek. There isn't always a good reason for taking the data, but they kind of just say, well, we'll just ask for it because we can, and people will just say yes to it. It's not like tapping into your phone, you know, is the only way they do it. They'll often get you to set up an account. They're asking for your date of birth, your gender, your address and so on, none of which you really should need to give over to your air fryer or to your fridge company,
so
whatever it might be.
Are we saying then that an app that I might have on my phone connected to an appliance is constantly accessing the microphone on my phone?
No, not necessarily. What it might be is just when you actively...
When I'm using the app.
When you are using it. But the problem is, and it depends on your phone as well, you will usually get a little notification to tell you when the microphone is being used. So it depends on the app, really. In theory, it could be that once you open the app, the microphone is open. It could just be when you hit the button to do a voice command or whatever it might be that it's in use. It depends. But if you've given permission to the app to access your microphone, there's potentially a way there for it to be constantly recording you.
Now, I don't know what the Chinese would be interested in, like me giving out someone hasn't done their Irish homework, but you never know. The air fryers, though, they're not the only ones that have the data problem. Like, there's loads of newer appliances now that have this.
They're all smart, all these smart appliances everywhere. People will be familiar with smart TVs, for example. They're probably around the longest. And it's actually kind of hard now to find a dumb TV that doesn't connect directly to the internet. But you can get smart fridges, smart washing machines, dryers, dishwashers, kettles, pretty much any appliance you can think of. There's a smart variety out there. And they all come download an app. They all piggyback on your phone to pick up the data around you. Another category that Which looked at was smartwatches. And it said there's a lot of risky permissions being sought by some of these devices, gathering a lot of data around the user. Again, often via the consumer's phone, they would tap into the location, the microphone, personal health data, stored files, even the ability to see what other apps you had installed on your device. Now, again, there could be a legitimate reason for that. You know, if I have a smartwatch and I want to go for a run, I would want it to track my location so that I can see how far I've gone. I want to track some health data, like my calories burned and heart rate and all that. So it makes sense that it might want to tap into that. Why it would need access to the stored files on your phone or to the other apps that are available on your phone, it's less clear why they would need to tap into that.
What might the data be used for then?
Well, even if you take the most benign view of this, the information that's being gathered on you by a lot of companies is probably being designed to figure out what ads they want to direct towards, because Which found multiple instances of devices, including the air fryers and the smart speakers as well, having connections to ad trackers. I know companies will say that, well, we're not actually giving your data to a third party, which may be true, but it's also a little bit of a fudge, because what they are doing with those ad trackers is kind of being a go-between you and the company. So they'll give a kind of anonymized picture of you as a user. So you live in this area, you're in this age category, you like these kinds of things. And based on that, the company then can decide, well, you're the type of consumer we want to point an ad at, and we'll pay a certain price for that. And of course, the more data they gather on you, the more, you know, valuable that data is. So, you know, what you're doing on your phone, how you're interacting with your air fryer or your fridge or whatever it might be, makes you more valuable to the advertisers. And bear in mind, these trackers are everywhere. So even if you don't use, say, for example, Facebook, there are Facebook trackers on lots of websites that you would visit, and they're all sending out these little bits of information that are piecing together a picture of you and what your interests are and what kind of ads might be, you know, get you to spend some money. Mm-hmm.
So are they potentially listening to everything then?
Yeah, well, this has been a suspicion on like smartphones, for example. We've all had that experience where you're chatting to a friend about something.
Oh, a pair of shoes that you might think about buying for Christmas
or whatever,
and suddenly pops
now
up on your phone.
The reality is they're probably not constantly listening to you, because even on a practical level, if every single smartphone was beaming back a constant stream of information to servers, you know, the amount of data that would take would just be unmanageable. You'd notice that your battery would be getting drained as well, because, you know, having a microphone open like that would be really power hungry. But what all of these little trackers are doing do explain why we have that experience all the time, because, you know, through those ad trackers, your social media account is able to get impressions of what you're searching for, what you're reading for. So even you might search for that somewhere else afterwards, and that tells Instagram or Facebook or whatever that you're looking for that thing, and it feeds back to it. Or it could also be, you know, if they're tracking your location or they have a rough idea of your location, they also know that, you know, you were in this place with this person. They went and searched for it. And because you're in the same age group, same demographic, if they're interested in it, you're probably interested too. In a way, it's actually more kind of disconcerting than the idea
really
that they just
is.
Have the microphone open, that, you know, they're picking up on all this information
it's
about where you are and
effect.
who your friends are and who you're spending time with. So, you know, they're not recording you probably, but at the same time, there are cases where they absolutely are recording you, and they're, you know, they are listening to you, so to speak. And
right, they're doing the raw thing of listening to you.
And that data is getting sent back to a server.
So when is that happening?
Well, I mentioned the kind of voice commands, and you know, those requests tend to get sent back to a server somewhere in the other side of the world. And it absolutely does happen in the likes of, say, a personal assistant on your phone or one of those smart speakers, because, you know, they're always listening because they're waiting for you to give the command. But they're not necessarily recording that data. But once you give the command, that request then gets sent back to a server so they can understand what it is and they can give you the answer you want. And that's being saved. And there have been cases, court cases, where recordings from an Alexa, for example, were part of the evidence. There was a fairly gruesome...
You've said
gruesome,
the word now. You've said it off in everyone's kitchen.
Sorry about that, everybody. There was a case in Wales last year where a string of commands to Amazon Alexa were used to help to piece together the movements of a murderer, basically, in the home. They were able to see they were in this room and they made this command. They were in this room and then, you know, two minutes later. And it wasn't, you know, the entire part of the case, but it was definitely helped
played
the police to see how it was going on, what was going on, and to put their case together. Yeah. Mm.
So that sort of thing is obviously open to abuse, right?
Yeah, I absolutely. Even if it's not happening systematically. If it exists on a server somewhere, someone can get access to it. Last year, the FTC claimed in the US that 30,000 Amazon workers could access data from Alexa. Now, Amazon disagreed with that assessment, but there have been cases in the past where they fired people for unauthorized access to user data. And, you know, one of the big issues that's cropped up in consumer electronics and appliances in recent years, the arrival of countless small Chinese brands that are selling products online. You might even not know they're Chinese, but you've probably, you know, never heard of them before. And if that's the case, they probably are one of these Chinese brands. And the problem is, you know, there's very little transparency around the companies or the things they're selling. Often, multiple companies are selling the same generic product, just with their own label attached to it and their own packaging around it. So, you know, it's not clear who made it. It's not clear who made the app. Mm. And it's not clear whether they're actually paying attention to the kind of regulations that they should be following.
Yeah, people are attracted to those brands on price, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. They're cheaper and, you know, you can probably get them quite quickly on a lot of shops as well. Yeah, so you can absolutely see the appeal. And you know, but the problem is that you don't know, you know, if they're doing their best with the data. And of course, data security experts have repeatedly raised concerns around Chinese companies' handling of user data, whether, you know, the question whether they're required to give Chinese surveillance services access to any information they hold. So the question arises, who is actually listening to that? And that's before you get into the potential for hackers as well, because if they're not, you know, being rigid in their handling of user data, they're more open to abuse for hacking as well, and someone being able to tap into all that data.
Right.
Well.
So when you were lying awake worrying about this last night, did you come up with ways that we can protect ourselves?
Well, you know, there's no foolproof way, but the first thing is try and avoid the smart appliances. You know, realistically, a lot of these features, they're not really that useful. You know, they're kind of nice bells and whistles. So try and avoid them if you can, unless you say, well, I really, really need this smart feature and that's why I'm going for that. And often you'll save money by doing that, because the smart appliance, it's to try and upsell you. It's to try and, you know, make you spend a little bit more. But it's not always possible to do so. And, you know, the retailer will try and push it to the smart devices. In some cases, they're all smart now, like TVs, for example, very few dumb versions.
You can't switch
available.
The things on without having the app in some cases. And
so, yeah, and that's like that's one thing that if you can try and figure out, is there a way of switching it off or not setting up an account? Because sometimes you might be able to get around it. But aside from that, you need to be very mindful about the information you are handing over and the permissions you're giving. Don't just say accept. Don't just say yes to everything. Try and, you know, say as little as possible. You know, don't download the app unless you really, really have to, or it's really going to be useful to you. You know, and don't necessarily give it access to your microphone, your GPS and so on. And without wanting to ignite the debate around smartphones and which is better, which did find that people using an iPhone tended to leech less data than people using an Android device. And that's because Apple has made a big play around privacy in recent years. It's one of their big selling points. So they basically, you know, don't let apps tap into certain things that an Android device will. And they make it clearer for the user to say no to stuff and let them know what's being used. So not saying an iPhone is always better than Android, but when it comes to,
well, a lot
to
of
privacy...
a lot of it comes down to the individual, because if you does. Give the permission,
it's completely understandable, especially when you're visiting websites. It's so easy. It's much harder to reject everything than it is to accept it. And the same when you install an app, you just kind of go, yeah, okay, and move, because you just want to get on with it. But pay a little bit of attention to it and try and see if you actually have to hand over that data, and, you know, think about why you're doing that and what they
might
do with
it. You still have your smartwatch on.
I do have my smartwatch on. That's
So you're okay.
Exactly. I don't know what interest or what use this is to anybody. All the data I'm leeching, but
go home now and talk to the air fryer for a while and see if you get any answers back. Adam McGuire, thank you so much. And here's a listener saying they upgraded their broadband yesterday and now nothing in the house works. It's incredible how many devices are connected to the internet. That's painful, because you're going to have to go around and connect everything to your wireless. Then you're going to have to find a password for your wireless, which means you need a magnifying glass. So
and
have a lovely weekend, listener.
In uppercase, lowercase, numbers, and
it's a killer. It's a killer, but it's got to be done. Up next, The Gathering.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.